We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Exodus. And if my iPad will turn on, I'll actually be able to preach my sermon. I've actually never had this happen, so bear with me. I could always turn around and go ahead and preach on Lazarus. How many of you know what I mean by that? I was looking back here at the tomb, and I thought I could sneak out of here and call Lazarus come forth, right? Exodus chapter 20. How many of you enjoyed that song we were just singing? As with many of the commandments today, we are looking at honoring our who? Our parents, okay? And today's title is The Father's Plan for Families. The Father's Plan for Families. And this is one of those commandments where most people look at this fifth commandment, and here's what we boil it down to. Obey who? Come on, guys. Obey who? Obey your parents. You ever done that to your kids? You're like, do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says to obey your mom and dad, right? And in essence, how many of you know we're supposed to obey mom and dad? Can I get an amen from the parents? All right, let me try that again. Can I get an amen from the parents, right? Amen. Obey mom and dad, right? This is like, if you're a parent, this is your ultimate verse. You're like, this is great. I hope the pastor really lets it fly this morning because my kids need to hear this message, man. One of the problems with this mindset of this commandment is just that we think that's all it means. We just think that honor your mom and dad means just obey what I say. But clinging only to this understanding is to leave this commandment and its impact in our life and society woefully short. Now, I will tell you that as I was working through the text and as I was praying over this, I prayed earlier this morning with the pastors, and I said, you know, as I was working through the Ten Commandments, I didn't realize how much God would work them through me. How many of you know what I mean by that? And sometimes you think you have a grasp and a grip of a passage, or you think you have an understanding of the Scriptures, or you think you really have something down packed, and the more you dig and the deeper you go, you realize very quickly, wow, I may need to rethink some things. Can I get a witness on that? And so, before we get too deep, let me share a few things. First of all, this commandment is really, really hard for those of you who are here and have had parents that you're sitting here thinking right now, are you serious? You want me to honor my dad? Do you know the kind of man that he was? Does God want me to honor my mother? Do you know the kind of mother? She wasn't a mother. He wasn't a father to me. Honor them? Never. Some of you are here, and when you think about mom and dad, you don't think about honor, you think about hate. You're just wondering, how does this text, how does this verse apply to me? Because surely the way my parents have treated me, God does not want me to honor that. Some of you were here and maybe you didn't have horrible things happen to you, but the relationship with your parents is off. It's bad. It's difficult. There's a huge gap between you and your folks, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm just going to tune this whole sermon out because this is not going to work for me. There's too much stuff has gone. I was a bad kid. My parents, it just is bad. It's not, can we skip to number 6, please? When you think about your home, you don't have very many happy memories. I thought of my own father as I wrote this message, actually, because many of you know that he was orphaned as a child and abandoned by his mother on the side of the road with his brothers and sisters as an infant. And I thought, well, how does he do this? He only ever met his father, his biological father, one time, and it was not a good meeting. He's got brothers and sisters that he's never even connected with or met because of the kind of loose woman that his biological mother was. And so for some of us who are here this morning, this thought of honoring mom and dad, it's kind of sickening. We think, well, why would God do that? And so I need to tell you right out of the gate that my heart goes out to you, and I understand where some of you are, and I've spoken to some of you about this, and I know that some of you are sitting there this morning, and you're resonating with things I've said and even things I didn't say. It's making sense to you even now, and so that's why I've written this message in two parts. And isn't God really good to have a message like this bookend vacation Bible school when the whole week's going to be about kids and parents, right? I mean, God couldn't have lined that up any better. Can we just thank the Lord for that? Amen? I had no idea when this was coming down, it would just land the way it did. And so here's what I want you to do. If you're in the first category that I mentioned, or you're struggling and you're in that category, listen carefully. I want you to hear today's message. I want you to listen, all right? All right? And then next week, here's what you need to do. Guess what you need to do? It's not hard. Come back, okay? Hear today, come back next week. All in favor? Amen, okay? So hear the groundwork. Hear where this is going to go. See in your mind and in your heart's eye. Balcony, are you listening? Okay. Tune in. All right. All right. Listen what's happening, because next week, if you miss this week and you're like, well, I'm just going to tune out. You're going to do it in two parts? Well, I'll just tune out and I'll just come back next week. No. Tune in. Because if you don't hear today, it's going to be harder for you to hear next week. I got to tell you that. If you do not listen well today, when I start next week, you'll be thinking, what is he talking? You might be thinking that already. You know, half the time I'm preaching, you might be thinking, I don't know. But and so next week's message will be, how do I honor those who I feel are not honorable? How do I fulfill this? How do I do this biblical command? Because if it's in the Bible, are we supposed to do it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Did you know God never said it would be easy? And there's some truths that are hard to obey. Can I get a witness? Okay. Then, of course, there's the challenge today, secondly, of living in a society that is so far detached from God's word and God's ways that even in a setting like church, even in a setting such as today, Christians will struggle and resist and disagree with the scriptures and what the Bible says concerning the home and how God, the perfect Father, has laid out his plan for us to follow. So let me just make sure we're all on the same page. How many of you know God's a perfect, kind, loving Heavenly Father? If you know that today, would you say amen?
Amen.
If you believe that his truths are going to change us and help us be better, would you say amen? Okay. Now, I'm hoping most of us said amen. Some of you may have said, no way, I don't know. You may have said amen, but in your heart, you're like, I'm not so sure, I don't know. But that sounded overwhelming to me. And the truth is, some and many have grown up in homes and families where parents are not honored. We live in a society where the elderly are left uncared for. Should read about what happened in France in 2004 when they had a heat wave and hundreds of elderly people died because their own family members wouldn't come and check on them. France instituted a law so that that would never happen again because they said, our elderly are being abandoned. We live in a society where kids are worshipped and the role of parenting is inverted. Whether it's feminism or chauvinism, it's at the forefront. And instead of Christ-centered homes, we have child-centered homes. Moms and dads don't really know their biblical role and responsibility. We have assigned today in the society in which we live, and this idea has seeped in and even saturated Christian thinking. We have assigned someone's worth to what they bring into the home by monetary value. And so for a mother who wants to stay home and raise her children and influence her children and impact her children, she's looked down upon and she's asked, well, do you have a job? Well, yeah, she's got a job. She's got the most important job in the world. It's her dream job that God gave her. And many are like, well, you know, I just... couldn't do that, and that's so out of touch, and it's almost dismissed as if, There's this resisting and rejecting the roles and responsibilities given to us by Creator God, and many of us have found other things to occupy our life with something else. We have franchised out our children to be raised by the school, the church, the youth group, daycare, or anyone else who has time because we don't have time. And friends, our society today is suffering. Many parents and children have a better relationship with their cell phone than they do each other. Would you write this thought down? We live in a culture that has rejected God's instructions and instead has embraced insanity. We've embraced this, it's insanity what we're doing. Ours is a culture marked with angry kids, rebellion, rudeness, rootlessness. We have cut ourselves off from wisdom and experience and what I have termed generational influence and biblical foundation. Ours is a society that has embraced the teachings of Freud. Do you know that almost every psychology book, almost every Disney movie, almost everything that is being pumped out, and you're like, are you going to bash Disney? No, I've seen a lot of Disney movies. I'm going to bash that. Hey, Christian, just be smart. Amen. Just know the Bible. Watch what your kids are watching. Freud's mentality that has bled into this society, and I quote, here's what Freud said, we need to kill off our father to liberate ourselves and live free from the bondage of parental expectations. This is the mentality of our society. Some of you are listening to me, and you're not hearing a thing I'm saying. This is what our kids are being taught. This is what our movies are projecting. This is what they're learning. This is what some of us are buying. Let's give these kids freedom. They don't need a mom and dad. They can figure it out themselves. That is anti-biblical. And it's ruining our society. This is the spirit of the age in which we live. God's word describes it very well. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Hello. Hello. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You guys know when this was written, right? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, means no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I hate you, I hate what you, I hate your God, I hate your church, I hate your goody too, I hate it. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, say it, church, more than. Now, here's the trick. Watch this. Paul puts a little bow on this. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. And what does he say? Turn away. Get away from that. Please know that this spirit that I've just read from God's word and that I've described in our own society, this spirit has been around a long time. It started in the Garden of Eden when God's children decided that they didn't want God's rule and authority anymore. That spirit of rebellion has persisted and continued through history, fueled by Satan. And we are now realizing the horror that happens when we fail to live by God's laws for living, when we fail to honor our mother and father. And so if you're with me in Exodus 20, would you say amen? Amen? All right, so here we go. Verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's all read it again together, everyone. Ready? Come on, balcony, get in on this. Here we go. Ready? Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Great. One writer said it this way: we live in an age of intentional orphans. Now, that jarred me when I read it at first until I began to unpack the mentality of what was being communicated. All around us are people who reject this commandment. And in so doing, we are orphaning ourselves from the parental watch, care, love, and authority that God has set up. Like Adam and Eve, we have willingly removed ourselves out from under the blessing of the parental authority and watch care. We have thought that our way is better. We have rejected mom and dad, and it's generational. Some of you in your homes, God love your heart, this has been a cyclical pattern. And if this has been the pattern in your home, maybe God wants you to knock it off and stop and start something fresh. Maybe God wants you to be the catalyst to say, this is going to end with me and I'm going to start something new. Don't you find it interesting and eye-opening that God begins this fifth commandment? The first four are God word. The last six are man word. That he starts this fifth commandment with parental relationships. He could have started with your spouse. Could have started in your marriage. He said, no. As soon as we get this whole worship thing down, the next thing you need to understand is how authority works. And children, you are to honor your mom and dad. Professor Christopher Wright said it this way: this fifth commandment forms part of the structure and the fabric of Israel's relationship with God. There's parental relationship here. This is why we're calling it the Father's rules, the family rules. Good, loving, perfect Heavenly Father leading us. Our worship of God affects our relationship with others. In other words, to be right with the Heavenly Father is to be right in the home. To be right with God means to be right in the home. Until things are right between kids and their parents, something's always off. Do you know how many parents I have spoken to over the years through tears who have said to me, I just wish things were different between me and my daughter. I wish things hadn't gone this way with my son. I don't understand what's happened with the children. And here they are in their 60s and 70s and sometimes 80. And I'll never forget, I spoke to a man who was nearly on his deathbed and he said, my kids aren't even here. He's craving that, wanting that. This is one of the reasons God says, honor your parents, church. We have demonized old age. And we have disregarded the benefits and the wisdom of parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. This commandment is meant to be generational, friends. God has placed a high value on parents. A high value. And by the way, this commandment, some of you are like, I need to go get my child out of Sunday school. This commandment is not just for kids, it's for adults. This is for us as adults because we are to model this for our children. We are to show this, to show honoring. What does this actually look like in real terms? Because children, are you listening? Children learn more by what they see. Hello. Wow, look at this. And I was thinking during worship, so are the sharks over here in this section? And then like the whales, I guess, over here? I don't know. I'm not sure, but some of you know children are visual. Who have you ever tried to read a paragraph to them and you've lost them in 30 seconds, but you can put a movie on for 2 hours in there? Right? Okay, are you listening? Mom, dad? Hey, mom, dad, are you listening? You're the visual for this commandment. You're the visual. So they read this, honor your father. Okay, dad, go ahead. Let me see you do that. Well, you know, that's for you. Oh, yeah, really? One writer said it this way: It is often said, listen carefully, please. It is often said and is so clearly true that our relationship with our parents, in terms of the most formative period of our lives, when we're young, the most formative period of our lives, will to a great degree indicate our relationship with God. We either come under the authority of our parents willingly, or we respond to that authority with the spirit of rebellion. And our response to our parents indicates how we will respond to our Creator. And some of you are like, well, you're just throwing a lot of Bible out there. I want to read something to you. I found this article. I thought you guys might find it interesting. This is from the Minnesota Crime Commission. This is what they wrote about delinquency and children and rebellion. This is a lost person's perspective, only undergirding truth. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch, or whatever. Deny him these, and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He's dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no developed skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, but all children are born delinquent. If permitted, listen, if permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulse of actions to satisfy each want, every single child will grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, and a rapist. Isn't that amazing? In the United States, at least 8 million serious assaults are made each year by children on their parents. In recent years, a number of children have been convicted of murdering or hiring the killing of their parents, usually for no greater reason than resentment of parental control or discipline. Children who are incessantly told that they can do whatever they wish and can have their own way are children who will soon mock their parents, mock their teachers, mock moral standards, mock the law, and mock society in general. All human relationships obviously grow out of those of children with parents. Children who respect and obey their parents will build a society that is ordered, harmonious, and productive. Listen carefully as this commentator wraps up this thought. A generation of undisciplined, disobedient children will produce a society that is chaotic and destructive. So how do we start the process? I think we would agree, and I could go on and on and on. I don't think it would be any more helpful. I think we would agree. We've seen a clear picture of how society is, don't you? How do we honor mom and dad? What does it look like in real time? How is it that our obedience to this text changes society? Number one, parental authority is to be understood and respected. It's to be understood and respected. Immediately, we see that God says, Father and Mother. This is significant. Why? Because God is placing respect and honor on both parents. And all the dad said, and all the mom said, okay, mother and father. Mom and dad are to be respected. Now, this is important culturally because God was establishing a change of direction for his children. Remember, they've been in bondage for 400 years. They lived in a society and were influenced by Egyptian rulers where women were second-class citizens. They were subservient to the man. They lived in a culture and a society where it was chauvinism at its height. They were in bondage, and God said, this is how a family's supposed to look. You respect mother, you respect father. They are to be revered and honored. Mothers are not second class, and fathers are not dictators. The word honor, are you listening? The word honor means to bring weight to something. To bring weight to something. We might use the term heavy. Whoa, that's my dad. It's my mom. It's my parents. It's weighty. When my mom or dad speak, I listen. Like, I need to hear what you have to say. It's important. I want to honor you. The word honor means to love, to respect, to submit, to appreciate, to show affection. This word honor encapsulates all of these ideas. And so that's why I want to say this morning. Biblical honor starts internally and is displayed externally. It starts in the heart. Now, you can force your child to show respect. Hey, parents, and you should. Are you listening? You can force your child to show respect, and you should. When your child is told to do something and they're like, I don't want to, you should be like, okay, honey. Listen, if you're still coaching your child to say thank you after somebody does something for them, that's a problem. If your child's 6, 7, 8, 9, and somebody gives them something and you're like, what do you say? This is rude. If someone addresses your child and they don't speak back, or they just kind of shut down or fold their arms or look down, oh, he's shy. No, he's embarrassing you because he doesn't want to listen to you. When you tell them, hey, what do you say? And they're like, I don't know, what do I say? There's a problem. That child needs to learn how to show respect. But the point is, if you don't start early, you're going to have a harder time the older they get. It's really hard when they're 4, 5, and 6. It's hard enough when you can manhandle them and manipulate them and you know, get them to listen to you. Try it when they're 16 or 17. You know, I'm not trying to grab Nathan, my son, who's up here, and be like, hey, you gotta show your mama some respect. I'm not doing that. I'll just get a bat. No, I'm just kidding. My wife has told me if I ever get out of line, she's just going to sick Nathan and Michael on me, and then that'd be the end of that. So the point is, it's not just that you should have your children show respect, but the point is that you should teach them to give respect. You teach them to show it, but then you teach them to give it. The issue is not lip service, but showing love through attitude and actions. It's not just having a rein on your tongue, but redemption in your heart. It's not just right words, but righteous treatment of parents. Children need to see us honoring our own parents and people in authority. I'm going to get in big trouble now. I struggle to understand why when a police officer tells you to do something, you just don't do it. Just do what he says. He's in authority. If he says, stop, put your hands on the wheel, guess what I'm doing? If he says, stick your tongue out and touch your nose. He's in authority. Listen to the man. Like, I got my IRS bill and I don't want to pay that. You're going to jail. I'll pray for you. It's not hard. I don't think it should be 45. Go 50, go 60, get a ticket, pay the bill, get points on your license. It's your call. It's ridiculous. Our children need to see us obeying authority. They need to see us doing that. You go home and you roast the church and you roast the preacher. You think they want to come back here? You think they want to be a part of God's house when you're running things in the church into the ground? They want nothing to do with God. I don't know. I didn't raise them that way. No, you raised them to criticize the things of God. You know how many kids have told me now that they're adults, my parents couldn't stand it. They always talk this bad and that. I'm like, well, it's no wonder you don't want to be in church. They need to hear us and see us respecting authority. For a child to live a life of disobedience and disrespect, and for parents to allow children to act out in disobedience, is to cooperate with hell's plan for your home. You are following Satan's blueprint for a life of chaos, confusion, and insanity. Children need taught and instructed to obey. It's our job as parents to do this. Don't pawn them off and get irritated because the youth pastor or the children's director or somebody else down at the daycare or Dr. Smellfungus didn't get you squared away. Listen, it's your job. You're not going to get to heaven and you're gonna be like, well, so this daycare worker, Lord, what? If you just knew this, if you knew my son's sixth grade math teacher, you would know why my kid, no. Sorry, Jimmy. Do you know what Ephesians says? Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. One great theologian said it this way, God calls us to himself through our parents. We learn to be subject to God by learning to be subject to our parents, and parental discipline teaches us how to be disciplined by the Father. Obedience is the key and the starting point that leads us to honor. Children have to be taught this. Obedience does not come naturally. Your children wake up and they're like, I'm not listening today. That's how you woke up. You are not naturally bent to be compliant. I hear parents say, I have such a compliant child. No, you don't. They have hoodwinked you. They've just learned to manipulate you to think they're so compliant. You're like, are all kids bad? Do I need to read the Minnesota Commission report again? It's not that all kids are bad or awful or rotten. The point is, all kids need love, taught, and trained, and shown the biblical pathway to life. That's what they need. I want you to go with me quickly to Hebrews 12. I had a conversation with a young lady this morning who's working a summer job. I said, how's your job going? She said, well, I've learned that I don't like kids anymore. I said, is that right? She said, yeah, they're horrible. I'm working at a camp, not a Christian camp. I'm working at a camp, and she said, I've never seen children so miserable, awful, and rotten, and rude in my whole life. Hebrews 12, 7. Actually, let's look at verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? And he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? If you are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, and are you bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. And we gave them respect, reverence, honor. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and what? Live. Look, for they for a few days chastened us for their own pleasure. It's not that they took pleasure in the punishment. It's mean that they did it for their good. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Look at verse 11. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. I never announced to my boys, okay, guys, you're getting a spanking. They weren't like, yes. Waited all day for this. No, but your mom has. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but it's grievous. Notice what happens, but afterwards, what do you get? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Many don't want the pain and the process of discipline, but we want the product that it produces, and you can't have it both ways. A recent USA Today article profiled all of the top successful CEOs of large companies and discovered that most of them were all spanked as children. It was a stunning realization to many of the readers in the USA Today who have worked their way into positions of leadership and were spanked. And there is a psychological and biblical truth here. There is a theological lesson that because the seat of learning is a means of reaching the heart and the soul, and parents need to understand this. God doesn't say beat your child in the sense of beat them senseless. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about discipline, structure. Write this down. Pain is a good teacher. Amen? You ever do something and you're like, I ain't doing that again. Pain. Children need to learn cause and effect. Pain teaches us there's a judge. There's a rule that must be obeyed. There's authority. They need to understand the outcome of disobedience is never pleasant. I feel sad for many parents today because they live in a home with what I call little terrorists. They have little terrorists in their home, and parents today have become professional negotiators. These poor parents are held hostage until their demands are met by these little terrorists. You've seen them. You've watched it happen. You may have been held hostage a few times yourself. That needs to end. God puts you in authority, put you responsible, put you in charge. The Bible is clear. A child who is disobedient and disrespectful is a shame to mom and dad. It's a shame. And they will suffer the consequences. In the Colorado Rockies, there is a place called the Great Divide, a place where the mountains reach their highest peak. And when it rains, drops of water fall onto the Great Divide, and the raindrops will either go to one side or the other. They will either go westward, eventually go to the Pacific Ocean, or if it falls on the other side east, it eventually runs down into the Mississippi Valley, to the Gulf of Mexico, and ultimately to the Atlantic Ocean. Here's what's interesting. Both start nearly in the same place, but they end up oceans apart. And so it is with children. Same heritage, same culture, same opportunities, same proclivities, same abilities, and yet miles apart in the end. Why? Some honored their parents and some dishonored their parents. Here's what D.L. Moody said. I've lived for over 60 years and I have learned one thing, if nothing else, no man or woman who dishonors father or mother ever prospers. Doesn't happen. And that's why the second point is, not only should parental authority be understood and respected, but number two, protection and prosperity are the results of honoring our parents. Somebody said, there should be a warning sign on every crib, in every schoolhouse, and on every playground. Warning, disobedient to your parents may be hazardous to your health. Is that true? Did you notice in the text, in the commandment, not only here in our passage when it says, if you'll notice, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee? Ephesians says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with thee. Both of my boys, now men, are sitting right here. Had a long discussion with them even last night about this very text. And they would say this sometimes in the discipline process. I would say, how is this? Is this going well with you right now? Did your disobedience produce what? No, it did not, Dad. How's it going? Not good. It's not going very well. Many children have had their life cut short because they can't listen. You don't listen. Your parents told you. Your pastor told you. Somebody told you in authority, and you're like, yeah, well, I'm not going to. You're not listening. Look, it's simple. Giving obedience and honor to our parents results not only in quantity of life, but here's the key, in quality of life. It's quality. Many of young people live a life of disobedience and disrespect, and they will tell you once they get older, they will look back and they will say, I was rotten as a child. I was horrible. What I put my parents through was dreadful. And then there's this guilt and this shame and this, I can't believe it. And so then what happens is, to overcorrect, they try and give their children everything that they think they needed, and they end up creating a spoiled brat. Friends, listen. Honor and obedience. This is God's protective and productive measure that he has put in place. There's safety in the Father's house, amen? There's safety in Dad's backyard. When he puts a barrier and a fence up and he says, don't go any further, it's because he wants to help you. He doesn't want to see you hurt yourself. There's reasons God has established boundaries. There's reasons why there's things in the scriptures. You're like, I don't understand them. I don't get all of it. Join the club. How many of you remember? Hey, listen, parents, all the parents, raise your hands. Okay. Even if you're not a biological mom or dad, you're still a spiritual mom and dad. Okay. And how many of you remember having a conversation with your parents where you asked them if you could do something and they told you no, and you're like, I don't understand. Can I get a witness? Then is it possible that maybe when God says something, we're like, I don't understand. But then suddenly, one day, you turned around, you don't know how it happened, but suddenly you're a parent. And your kid's asking you, and you're like, no, 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 you're not doing that. And they're like, I don't understand. And you're like, no, 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 Twilight Zone, right? I sound like my dad. I sound like my mom. You know what you figured out? You figured out the parent-child relationship. And this is what God is saying. Hey, 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 trust me. Don't do that. Why? Just don't do that. I want to know. You can't understand it. I got to know. Just don't do it. All the teenagers who are in here. All the teenagers. Even those goofing off in the balcony. All the teenagers. Next time your mom and dad says something to you, these words should proceed out of your mouth. You got it. Parents, can I get a witness? Okay. Your mom and dad say something to you? What do you say? You got it. You got it. Because then when you say, hey, can I borrow the car? They're going to be like, you got it. See, if you can't learn to say that now, don't. You're like, I don't know, my parents will let me. You haven't learned to respect them. You haven't learned. I'm preaching to someone this morning. You haven't honored your mom and dad. Don't expect them to drop these things. Well, I want this. My parents are good. Well, if you'd honor them, things might turn around for you. Go home today. Clean the house. After your parents have been resuscitated, you can tell them, I love you, Mom. Love you, Dad. Some of your bedrooms, you are going to get the award for dirtiest city dump, man. I'm telling you. If there was a ride-on vacuum cleaner, you'd get on that. It's so bad. When they give you 4 L words, not in your handout. How do you honor your mom and dad? Listen to them. Stop arguing. Stop it. Just listen. Just listen. When you're older, when you're an adult, listen, my dad's a member of this church. You guys know that. He preached Wednesday night for me. You know that. There's times when he starts in, I'm like, Todd, shut up. Just listen to him. I don't have to agree with every single thing he says. My dad and I were in ministry 15 years together. You think we agreed on everything and skipped and sang kumbaya every day? We did not. There was boom. But there's a point where you just need to say, I just need to listen. I've got to argue. I'm going to get my 2 cents in, get my point across. Just shut up. Just listen to what they're saying. Honor them. Give them space to talk. Listen to them. Number 2, learn from them. Learn. They may tell you something and they're like, listen, I did this one time. You're like, I've heard this story 592 times. Well, it's probably going to take you 600 times till you learn the lesson, right? Amen. Learn from them. Parents, listen, share the mistakes that you've made with your children. You've got to gloat in it. They don't need all the gory details. Say, listen, Dad messed up royally. Here's what he did. I told my son yesterday, we're driving in the truck. I said, I was an idiot when I first got married. I was not a good husband to your mother. And I was in ministry and I wasn't treating her with respect. Tell them, let them know, hey, I don't have it all together. But I have a God who helps me keep it all together. I have a God who's working in me. Parents, share with your children. Listen, if you'll learn to do that, they'll learn to listen. Share, listen, learn. I told you there's four, two more. Love them. My parents are so annoying. So are you. So are you. You're extraordinarily annoying. You're obnoxious, you're irritating. You broke the bank. You're annoying. My dad told me when I grew up, he said, Tom, when you grew up, he said, I can't wait to come over to your house. I said, yeah, it's going to be great. I'm going to go in the garage. I'm going to throw the tools around. I'm going to kick the back seat of your car. I'm going to spill Kool-Aid on your carpet. He didn't spill Kool-Aid, but he spilled coffee twice. I don't know if it was on purpose or not. I don't know. Whoops. That's going to leave a stain. Just love your mom and dad. Just love them. Hey, when they get older, they can't do things they used to do. My son's home from the army. He says, hey, Dad, you want to go running? Yeah. I said, can you keep it old fat man speed? He said, well, we'll go your pace for a while, then we'll go mine. I said, all right, I can do this. We start running. He goes, you ready to pick it up? I said, pick what up? He said, we're going to go my speed. I said, okay. He took off. I'm like, see ya. I can wait. I can't do that anymore. And the older you get, the worse it gets. And that's when your parents need you to love them. Just love them. Amen, Mom and Dad? Amen. Just love them. And then by how you live. Children are an extension and representation of our parents, and this applies to our attitude and our action. And you know, God wanted every nation to know how children and adults are to treat each other. And in so doing this, it would show all of the nations what a kind and loving Heavenly Father Jehovah God was and is. In a word to our young people and adults alike as I close, are you living in a way that honors your parents? Look at your life. You're like, my mom and dad don't care how I live. I beg to differ. They may never say it. They may never communicate it. You may have a parent that's disconnected, but your parent wants to be proud of you. And you should ask yourself, am I living in a way that is honoring my mom and dad? Am I shaming them by the things I do, by the places I go, by the words I say, by the people I hang out with, by the things I watch, by the music I listen to? Am I showing honor to my mom and dad? The text says, honor your parents for it is right. You show honor to your parents by living in a way in accordance to how you were raised. Some of you are in here, you were raised better than the way you're living right now. You were raised better than that. Some of you didn't have an example. I'm going to talk to you next week. You didn't have that example. But you can get the example from the Word of God. And you can find someone in this church who is an example, and you can go to them and you can say two words, help me. Help me. I know you don't have it all together. I see how things operate in your home. I see how you treat your wife. I've seen your kids. Listen, I didn't have that. Help me. It's called discipleship. It's called mentoring. You don't have it? We've got people here that will help you get that. How many of you ever seen a kid having a temper tantrum? Acting in a way that's embarrassing to their parents. And people are like, whose kid's that? Do you know, friends, when we live a life that dishonors the Heavenly Father, we shame God, and the gospel is hid. It's hard for us to live a life of disobedience as a child of God and then turn around and share the gospel with somebody and point them to Jesus. People are like, who are you to tell me? Amen? How would you like it if after that little kid was having a holy temper tantrum, got done, and they saw your child having a little discussion with you, came over and said, hey, listen, if you would just do this with your child, then... I'm sorry, wasn't your kid just kicking and spitting and biting and cussing and throwing things? Yeah, please don't give me instruction, right? It's pretty hard for a lost world to take instructions from one of God's own children who are living disobedient. You see, failing to honor our parents hides the gospel message.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.